I'ma call you back. The most famous line to get off the phone.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking at players who saw a significant improvement in their performance after the All-Star break. A lot of the times we see players come on at the end of the year and that sort of stuff can burn into people's memories because it is in the fantasy playoffs, so people think, oh, that's necessarily going to continue. So we're going to look at the players who took massive rankings jumps from their before All-Star numbers to their post All-Star numbers and see what the reason was behind that and if that's going to be sustainable for this coming season. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Make sure you're checking out the last 2 days worth of podcasts as well, where I looked at the Yahoo default rankings and then the ESPN default rankings and tried to find where their value was in those ones if you've got early drafts upcoming, so check that out. Also, only one Roto League left for the Red Rock Challenge, only two spots left in that, so you can check my timeline on Twitter for links to that, and there's a few points league spots left. All the head-to-head leagues have been filled up, so that is all that's left in the Red Rock Challenge for this season. You guys have filled that out very, very well. Let's talk about these post All-Star players and the guys. And again, what I did is I looked at their stats and their fantasy 8-cat ranking before the All-Star break and looked at it in the period of time after the All-Star break and had a look at who had the biggest difference in between those two. And let's try and work out whether that actually means something for this coming season. All right. The player with the largest increase in their ranking over that time period was big, sexy Alex Caruso of the Los Angeles Lakers. Caruso started playing a lot more during that time because Rajon Rondo was hurt and ineffective. He played 26 minutes a night in 20 games. Caruso averaged 11, 3, and 4 with 1.2 steals. But him getting to that level of production this season is probably going to be a little bit tough. Yes, I think he probably is a better fit than what Rondo is for this Lakers team, but there is absolutely no way that Frank Vogel is going to do that. Caruso is going to be a third string point guard. They'll have LeBron, they'll have Rondo, maybe they even put Avery Bradley in ahead of him, which is unfortunate. They did bring Caruso back on a new contract, so maybe they use him. But he is a name to watch for the inevitable Rondo injury that's going to happen this season. If he, in deeper leagues, can play 20 minutes a night, you'll get some numbers from Caruso. He is a better player than what some people may give him credit for. The next highest ranked guy in that differential between pre and post All-Star, Big Mario Hezonja, 208 spot ranking jump. He was a 74th post All-Star, 282nd pre All-Star. He got some run there on the Knicks during that time. It was only a 10-game sample for Hezonja, but 29 minutes a game, averaging 14, 6, and 4 with one steal. And that's why Hezonja's fantasy game is so interesting. He can score, he can hit threes, he can get steals, and he's consistently done that, and he can pass. The problem is now in Portland, where is he going to fit in? Is he the backup power forward behind Zach Collins? Will he take some of that Evan Turner role as a backup point guard as well? First of all, he's got to get into the every night rotation beating Anthony Tolliver. I think he's got that on lock. I also don't think he's playing anywhere near 29 minutes a game. So this bump that Hezonja saw at the end of last season, which honestly, he should have been playing this role literally all of last season, it's not going to be something that's sustainable for this year. The next guy is one that I think is going to be sustainable to a degree, and that's Dwight Powell of the Dallas Mavericks. Powell jumped 153 spots in his ranking differences from pre to post All-Star. He was 206th before the All-Star break, 53rd after the All-Star break, after the Mavericks traded away DeAndre Jordan. Now, Kristaps Porzingis is here. But I still believe that we're going to see Dwight Powell starting alongside Porzingis. There's still Maxi Kleber coming off the bench, but I do think that Powell will be the starter. Now, do I think he'll be the 53rd best player this year? No. Would I take him anywhere near that range? Of course not. But he's got a Yahoo rank of 126th, ESPN rank of 164th, and I think he can beat that by 20, 30, 40 spots perhaps, even in limited minutes. He's a high efficiency guy who hit free throws at a decent rate. He's not quite a triple one guy. He's like a triple .8 sort of a player. And there is value in Dwight Powell. The upside's pretty limited, no doubt. I don't think he's getting back to that 53, no, but he's someone who should at least be at the back end discussion for fantasy value for this coming season. make sure you guys, when you are playing, or if you are playing fantasy football, which I imagine most of you are, check out Locked On Fantasy Football. Get yourselves ready for the draft with Vinny Iyer over there. 20 years covering fantasy football, Locked On Fantasy Football. Follow it on your favorite podcast provider. The next guy we take a look at here, Avery Bradley, who we saw have that really big leap up on the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, he was trash for the Clippers, but took a big step forward for the Grizzlies. He was 252nd before the All-Star break, 106th after that. He played 32 minutes a night. He shot 92% from the line, 36% from three, had a usage of 22, started handling the ball. But of course, now he is in LA. Now, there's a chance that he starts. Maybe they go with LeBron, Danny Green, and Avery Bradley as the 1, 2, and 3. I think that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is still in that mix. I also think that an 11-game sample size from Avery Bradley doesn't eliminate the previous 150 games where he wasn't very good. He's not going to be having this level of ball handling responsibility for the Lakers. I'm not sure the shot, again, which has been absolutely terrible for the last couple of seasons, he's going to stick at that level, and I'm pretty sure he won't be playing 32 minutes a night. And even in this time where we were all going, oh man, Avery Bradley is so good, he still was the 106th ranked player. It wasn't like it was, yeah, he's his top 50 guy. He still didn't crack the top 100, and I don't think he really can get back to that sort of a level. Robin Lopez, another player who took a big step up in the second half of the season. He started playing extra minutes when Wendell Carter Jr. went down. He went from 257 to 118, played 30 minutes a night and averaged 14.5 and 5.5 on good percentages. But of course, he goes now to back up his brother Brook. Try again, in Milwaukee. Will he start shooting threes this year? I think there might be a chance that he does that, but he's also just not going to get those 30 minutes a night. So that sort of performance from Robin Lopez is just not something we should be considering or expecting or wanting him to do, really. At number one, or not number 133, a guy that's ranking jumped 133 spots, another player from the Memphis Grizzlies, D'Lon Wright, went from 208th to 75th. And this is one where I do believe it's a possibility. Of course, he's no longer in Memphis. He's now going to be the Dallas Mavericks starting point guard. In that stretch at the end of last season for the Grizzlies, 31 minutes in 23 games, and some of that playing not as a point guard, playing out of position as a two guard. He averaged 12.5 points with 5.5 boards, 5.5 assists, 1.7 steals, and 0.6 blocks, and did it while shooting just 26% from three. He moves into that starting job over in Dallas, and I think that there is a legitimate chance that he can keep up that level of production and be that top 75-ish type of a player for the entirety of his season with the Mavericks, just by averaging a 12, 5, and 5 with those high steal numbers, the good blocks, and okay efficiency without being very good. So I think D'Lon Wright is that guy who really can step up after that big second half of the season. Is probably what got him that contract. A player that maybe not many people realize took such a big step forward at the end of last season, Flaming Mo Harkless. Now he's with the Clippers, but at the end of last season, post All-Star break, he was the 85th ranked player, 27 minutes a night across 23 games. Prior to that, he'd struggled quite a bit. He was the 209th player, but now he heads to the Clippers and he's in a bench role behind Kawhi Leonard, behind Paul George. Now, of course, one of those guys, Paul George, is probably going to miss the start of the season, and he's going to miss games during the season. Kawhi Leonard, he's definitely going to miss some games during the season. So there's going to be opportunities to look at Harkless as a triple one streaming guy. In fact, post All-Star break, he averaged 0.6 threes, 1.5 steals, and one block, which is a small forward. Getting that one block and 1.5 steals is a great combo. Of course, his great three-point shooting fell completely off. He'd been a 40% guy for the previous two seasons and then struggled to hit 30% this season. But he's in obviously a worse situation where he'll struggle to get the 27 minutes a night most nights, but he absolutely should be on your radar, at least as a stream type option when those star players do happen to sit down. The next bunch of guys I'll look at, you know that I shit on Colin Sexton quite a bit, the Padawan. But he did put up good numbers at the end of last season. In fact, he jumped up by 111 ranking spots. He went from 211th to right on the nose as the 100th best player post All-Star break. He played 35 minutes a night. He scored 21 points a game. He had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2.5 threes with 48 and 83% shooting. So that's really good. Like, obviously, getting to number 100 when he had such a poor start to the season is strong. But it came on a pretty high usage, 25% usage. He hit 41% of his threes. Don't know how real that's going to be, although he did shoot well all throughout the season. But again, the thing that troubles you with Sexton is 2.4 rebounds, yuck. 3 assists as your point guard, pretty bad. 0.6 steals, bad. 0.1 blocks, bad. And with Kevin Love, probably in the fray, or definitely in the fray at this point, with Darius Garland around now. Will Sexton have the ball in his hands this often? Will he get to the line? And he shot free throws well, but will he get to the line that often to actually make that make an impact? Will his shooting continue? And can he do anything to improve those peripheral stats? So while I do think that Sexton will be better than what he was to begin last season, where he was quite bad, getting back to that same level that he was at the end of last season, where he was averaging 20 points per game, I have him coming in a little bit under that, and still with all those doubts in those peripheral numbers, making him, of course, a better points league player than he is a category player. Tyler Johnson jumped 99 spots from 190 to 91. He is in a significantly worse situation this year in Phoenix. Ravishing Rick Rubio and Devin Booker will be the starting backcourt. Johnson, who's got these knee problems, he'll be that first guard off the bench behind Rubio and behind Booker. And he's not going to get anywhere near that top 100, so we don't need to pay too much attention to him. We do need to pay attention to Kelly Olynyk, though, who I believe will head into this season as the starting power forward for the Heat. 190th before the All-Star break. 91st after the All-Star break. That's a jump of 98 ranking spots. He played just 28 minutes a night after the break, averaging 12 and 5, shot 48 and 88, including 39% from three. So numbers that aren't completely unsustainable. Didn't go out and block tons of shots either. He just provided solid enough numbers. I think we're going to get some pretty solid production from Olynyk this season. He looks to be a little bit underranked on ESPN at 161. Yahoo is about right at 111th. That's solid enough. It's probably more of a 14-team league guy. In 12-team leagues, yes, being the 120th best guy is valuable. It's useful. Being the 100th best guy is useful. But is there any upside for Olynyk to actually get better than that? That's where I have some concerns. I probably still would take him in a 12-teamer. I'm just not sure if there's any upside for him to be better than that. The guy, of course, that is really standing out like dog's balls here is Mitch Robinson, who took a big leap forward in that second half of the season. It took a while for Fizdale to play him. 130th before the All-Star break, still pretty good, but 35th after the All-Star break. That's where people are getting really excited about Robinson. Now, he played 25 minutes a night to be the 35th ranked player. 9 points with 9 boards, but importantly, 3 blocks and 69% shooting from the field and 68% from the line, which is an improvement over what he'd done during the season. The concern here is, of course, the fouls, which does limit Robinson's playing time, although over the last 10 games or so of the season, he was up around 30 a night. But what we also saw there is as the fouls dropped and the minutes increased, his block rate dropped pretty significantly. In fact, it dropped by about 33% during that time. So if he can't maintain that absolutely stellar block rate in the big minutes and larger role, that is going to put a bit of a dampener on his overall value. Now, I still think that Robinson is going to be really strong for this season. I'm just not sure that he's going to be that, you know, mid-second round, early, late first round guy that some people, yeah, seem to be thinking he might be valuable for. Second round, end of it, fine. Third round, no problem with that whatsoever. I just worry that maybe that block rate stagnates just a little bit. The foul trouble maybe keeps his minutes down. I'd love for him to get 32 minutes a night, but I absolutely have zero trust in Fizdale doing that, or it combined that with Robinson being able to stay out of foul trouble. So there are some concerns there, but of course, he's absolutely real for this upcoming season. Big Bam Adebayo.
Bam! 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 Bam!
Adebayo took a big leap forward, 86 ranking spots better, 153rd before the break, 67th after the break, and I think he's got an even better opportunity here. After the break, he played only 26 minutes a night as the starter. Hassan Whiteside was there to back him up, and that limited what Bam could do. Heading into his third season now, his backup is Myers Leonard and Udonis Haslem. I think 30 minutes is a minimum for Adebayo this season. He averaged in that time 11, 8.5, and 3 with a steal, with a block on 60 and 77% shooting. That's obviously really impressive, and give him an extra 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes. I think he plays over 30 minutes a night. He should be a lock for the top 50 and probably a top 40-ish candidate, especially in roto leagues. His ESPN rank, of course, is an absolute laugh. 134th. There is no reason for you to be looking at him down there, and he should go 80 spots ahead of that, most likely. And Yahoo's got him at 64th, which I still think is pretty low for Bam Adebayo. An interesting name that came up when I was doing this is Patty Beverley. He was 158th before the All-Star break and 67th after it. What did he do to get those post All-Star break numbers? Well, Beverley averaged only 9 points, but what he did is he hit 2 threes a game. He had half a block. He had 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Now, he's probably going to be the starting point guard again. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is gone. There's still Kawhi. There's Paul George there, but they're not noted ball handlers. So maybe Beverly can maybe not exactly approximate that number, but at least come close enough to beat his ADP, which is outside the top 100. I think he can do that. I think he can still be an aggressive rebounder and get some assists and hit some threes. His game is not built on usage at all. So I think Beverly is an interesting guy who we look at last season and maybe overall we're a bit disappointed, but he ended strong. And I think we're going to have a similar situation for him this season. One guy who really blew up post All-Star break was Kelly Oubre. He was the 32nd ranked player after the All-Star break and did that in 33 minutes, averaging 20 points with 2 threes, 5.5 boards, 2 steals and 1 block. And there's two things there that really stand out like dog's balls. 2.1 steals, 0.9 blocks. This is a guy who's never been that sort of generator of defensive numbers. He also shot 47% from the field and 34% from three. Again, a guy that's never been that level of a shooter before. So I have to have some level of skepticism. During the year, he averaged 1.2 blocks and he shot 32% from three. So I'm not really certain he's going to be at that level. I also don't think that he's going to be putting up a 26% usage. Remember, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, and multiple other Suns players missed time at the end of last season, which did elevate Oubre's usage and his role on this team. I think he plays over 30 minutes a game. I'm not convinced that block rate can stick at that sort of a level with Oubre, but of course he did make improvements, and he's still just 23 years of age. But I don't think that looking at him as a top 40 player is probably the way to go. I do think that he is a pretty comfortable top 100 guy. Again, ESPN rank, this is just me on a broken record, is nonsense. 155th makes absolutely zero sense. Yahoo's got him at 81. I think that's probably fair enough. That's in the right realm of possibility for where Oubre could end this season. Make sure, guys, you are checking out Locked On NFL, former NFL scout Matt Williamson, providing the scout-based takes while Brian Peacock hosts it. Go follow Locked On NFL on your favorite podcast provider. The next group of guys we'll take a look at, Tomas Satoransky, 74 ranking spots better post-All-Star break from 156 to 82, and that coincides when John Wall went down. Of course, at this point, I'm assuming that he is going to be the starting point guard for the Chicago Bulls. Chris Dunn, Kobe White still there, but Satoransky is the better player out of that group. He averaged 11, 4, and 6.5 in 33 minutes. He shot only 33% from three, and one of his calling cards in the past has been an excellent three-point shooter, so there's room for that to go up. He's a very good free throw shooter, and I think that he is a guy, again, who's being underrated pretty criminally in both Yahoo and on ESPN. And on Fantrax, to be honest as well, where he's got an ADP of 120, he should be a guy that's looking to crack the top 100 for this season with maybe the role's a little shaky early on, but I don't see it really being a concern as we move forward. A former Raptor and then a current Raptor, the next two guys coming up, Jonas Valanciunas took a big step forward, 68 ranking spots higher in that second half of the season. He was the 34th best player post All-Star break, where he averaged only 28 minutes a game, but 20 and 11 with 1.7 blocks, 54 and 78. Now, I don't think that the 30% usage at Valanciunas got in that post All-Star break period is necessarily going to happen on this team. He was playing in a situation where Conley was out a lot of that time, but also Conley's not on this team now. Jaren Jackson's going to get more shots. Ja Morant's going to come in and take some shots. But Valanciunas is still the most accomplished offensive player on this team by a significant margin. He is, even if he doesn't get 30 minutes a night, he's still going to be able to come out there and approximate 20 points and get 10 boards and get 1.5 blocks. And B, as importantly as this is for fantasy, for head-to-head and for roto leagues, he's going to be bloody efficient from the field and from the free throw line. And that is what bumps him up significantly. You can get some value on him. At the moment, he's ranked 65th on ESPN, which I still think is a bit low. But for some reason, his ADP there is 88th, so people ignoring that, which is crazy. On Yahoo, his rank is 56. I think that's a bit low. And Fantrax at 79th. Again, still low. I think he can absolutely come in and at least get close to that number he put up post-All-Star break on this team. They did re-sign him for a pretty decent contract, and he'll be playing quite a few minutes there. Freddie VanVleet, the Raptor that I'm talking about here, he had a strong post-All-Star break, 83rd ranked player, 30 minutes a night, 12, 2, and 5.5, no Kawhi, no Dan Green. I don't think that VanVleet's going to start, but that also doesn't mean that he's not going to get 30 minutes a night. I think he would get that comfortably. He'll provide assists, he'll hit threes, he'll score, he'll be a top 100 player, and I think he's a really strong late-round pick. for drafts. Trae Young, pretty obvious one here. Young was obviously awesome in that second portion of the season, the 20th ranked player post All-Star break. He was 84th before the All-Star break. I think he's got, now in this time, sorry, the 20th ranked player, he averaged 24.5 points, 4.5 boards, 9.3 assists, 2.5 threes with a steal, shooting 44-88 and just 34% from three. You can't look at this team and go, well, yeah, the talk is he's going to play 35 minutes a night. That's two extra minutes. Could he average 24, 4.5, and 9 again? Of course. Could he do better than that? No worries at all playing those extra couple of minutes. But what if he gets 1.3 steals? What if he shoots 36 instead of 34% from three? Then you're talking about the 15th, 12th, 13th best player in fantasy basketball. I think Trae Young is going to have an absolute monster of a season. Eric Gordon, 175th before the All-Star break, came into 112th after. He's still being disrespected in a lot of places in terms of where his ranking is coming in. Post-All-Star break, he averaged 16 points with four threes made on 43% shooting. That's obviously really strong shooting. I don't think he's necessarily a must-roster player at any point, but he is also ranked 179th on ESPN, 163rd on Yahoo. There's value above that. I don't think he starts this season with Westbrook around, and that's going to help. That's going to hurt his assist numbers. It's going to hurt his usage numbers a little bit as well, but I still think he should be looked at well above the top 150 where he's currently being ranked outside of. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, this is only going to carry on further this season. He had a jump of 61 spots after the All-Star break, ended up as the 86th best player there in just 28 minutes a night. Now he heads to the Thunder where his usage will definitely go above that 19% that it was. He'll have more opportunities to handle the ball when Chris Paul is hurt. He is the star of the future for this team, and I think we should be looking at Shai as a comfortable top 100 player with real chance to be a top 50 guy. Just nonsense ranking on ESPN, 173rd. I think we should be looking at him in that 70-75 type of a range. Lord Alfred Payton jumped up 58 spots after the All-Star break. His beginning of the season was pretty tough. He was injured quite a lot there. I don't really see it for him this year. He's got to go in and there and battle Dennis Smith in New York. He could be better than Smith. He could get that job off Smith. But again, with two, let's call them competent point guards. Is Fizdale going to make a decision on one every night? He's going to make a decision every night. Is it going to be the same decision every night? Of course it isn't. So I don't think we should have any sort of confidence that Payton is coming in and playing 30 minutes a night. Maybe he is better than Smith, but maybe he fits better with the starters because he's not a high usage guy. And that 11, 7, and 9 numbers he put up, we know that he always seems to go off in March. There were strong numbers from him as the 69th ranked player.
Giggity!
After the All-Star break, I just don't see that same opportunity for Lord Alfred Payton happening this season. The last bunch of guys I want to talk about here, Justice Winslow jumped up 54 spots after the All-Star break. We saw him playing a lot more point guard, averaged 13, 5, and 5, but still, even with the injuries that he'd had, and this was a team without Jimmy Butler, he couldn't even crack 30 minutes a night during that time, and shot an absolutely piss-poor 54% from the free throw line. Now, Goran Dragic is back and he's healthy. Jimmy Butler's on this squad. So where is Winslow fitting in? They're either playing Butler at the 2 and Winslow at the 3, or they're starting Deion Waiters and Winslow is coming off the bench. So can he be the 89th best player that he was last year, Winslow? I'm not so sure that he will be. Again, considering so much of his value came from that increase in assists, and now Dragic and Butler are both there. And I think both of those guys are going to have priority in running the offense over Winslow. And I'm just not convinced that he can get back to that level that he was at. Derek Favors, a guy that I'm pretty excited about for this upcoming season. He jumped 50 spots after the All-Star break. In only 24 minutes a night after the All-Star break, he was the 54th ranked player, averaging 14 and 8 with 1.6 blocks on 63 and 74% shooting. Just think, what is he going to do now in New Orleans when he's going to play minimum 30 minutes a night? Now, he probably won't come out and rebound at that high level, a career best level. He probably won't shoot 63% from the field, but he'll also be playing center, not power forward. So the blocks could increase, the rebounds could increase, the shooting percentage could actually increase from what he did last season. He is being absolutely criminally underranked, I believe, right across fantasy sites. 76 on ESPN with an ADP of 96. So the drafters are getting it even wronger than the rankers. 93rd on Fantrax, 76th on ESPN. Oh, sorry, on Yahoo. Last year, he was the 90th ranked player in 23 minutes a night. And these ADPs on Fantrax and ESPN are thinking he's going to be worse in a situation where he's playing 7 or 8 minutes more. It makes no sense to me. Derek Favors is a top 50 player, probably a top 40 guy. Really big value coming up. Jabari Parker, 47 spots better at the end of last season, started putting together some nice numbers as a member of the Wizards. 27 minutes, 15 and 7. He averaged, of course, no other numbers there for Parker, but had some efficiency. But in Atlanta, where's he going to fit? Are they going to play him at the 4 and John Collins at the 5? That defensive front court is absolutely disastrous. They're better off having Alex Len and John Collins out there. Collins will struggle at power forward. Yeah, Parker comes in. Collins will struggle at center. Parker can come in and be the bench scorer who plays 20 minutes a night. I don't think he's cracking the top 100 or playing those 27 minutes a night. Marvin Bagley took a big step forward at the end of last season, 105th after the All-Star break. Still only 28 minutes a night, but 18 and 9. 0.9 blocks, 0.8 threes, and yeah, subpar efficiency overall. I think his minutes are going to go up. I think he's going to start this season. 32, 33 minutes is in range for Bagley. 20 and 10 is in range. The problem is do we get assists, steals, blocks, and threes? Will that come? Where will the efficiency sit? It doesn't really worry me. He's a pretty clear standard league guy. People might go a little bit over the top. The rankings on ESPN at number 60 is maybe a little bit high, but it's not completely egregious. Number 44, Tommy Bryant. Plus 44, Tommy Bryant. He jumped up pretty significantly, 138th to 94th, and it would have been significantly higher had Scott Brooks not restricted his playing time. He did play just 24 minutes a night post-break. He is guaranteed, I would say, unless they want to run Yan Mihinmi out there, Bryant is going to have to play 30-plus minutes at center. He scores, he rebounds, he blocks shots, he hits threes, and he's efficient. He is the perfect combination for a top 50 fantasy center, and Thomas Bryant should carry that form over. DJ Augustin, when the Magic went into shit, we are going to make the playoff mode, we saw Augustin's production and playing time really start to solidify. He went from the 140th best guy to the 97th best guy. He played 29 minutes a night and had 12 and 6, shot 42% from three. But the specter here with Augustin is, what happens if Markel Fultz is okay? When does Fultz take over that starting point guard role? I would look at Augustin as a waiver wire type guy, as a player I look to at the end of a draft and maybe get it early in the season. I don't see him sustaining that value for the entirety of the season. The last guy I want to talk about here, interestingly enough, Jeremy Lamb. Big jump up after the All-Star break. 99th before the break, 57th after it. He played 28 minutes a night, and that coincides with his move to the bench. 28 minutes, 15 and 5 with 1.7 threes. And you look at that and you go, well, what's happening here? Well, only a true shooting of 57%. So it wasn't a crazy hot run. 39% from three. It wasn't a huge steal. Your rate of steals and blocks like Kelly Oubre, 1.3 steals, 0.6 blocks. Yeah, they're pretty okay numbers. It was 23% usage. They were just solid numbers across the board. Now, he's going to get a big opportunity at the beginning of the season when Victor Oladipo's out. You'll get, I think, opportunities for him to play at the three, even when Oladipo's back, so I'm not totally sold on TJ Warren being the guy there. So I think Lamb is, now, will he be the 57th ranked guy? Probably not. But I think he's a top 100 guy who will be better than that for the first 2 to 3 months of the season and then may drop off. But maybe he just found his role as a sixth man last year and thrived in it. And he could be that guy for the Indiana Pacers, have Oladipo and Warren starting, and then Lamb comes in, backs both those guys up, plays those 28 minutes and runs the second unit. That's what we saw from him in Charlotte, and it worked out pretty bloody well in that 26-game sample size. So maybe that's something that can continue again this season. That's it. Looking at my post-All-Star breakout type players, going through which guys I think can be better, which guys maybe there's a little bit of a mirage in there. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_beeble and on Instagram at LockedOnFantasyBasketball and on YouTube. It's great if you could go give it a thumbs up, like it, leave a comment below. It just helps the show get discovered by more people so I can get it out there and help to grow everything that I'm doing here. Make sure you check out basketballmonster.com. We'll be opening for memberships in the next couple of weeks as well. And check out the Locked On Podcast Network at Locked On NBA Net. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. O'Neal.